podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. You know, their customer service, even before they were sponsors, was unbelievable. It's one of the reasons I reached out to them and said, I want you to be one of our sponsors on our podcast, because I just believe in their machine so much, and it's just helped our team win so many games. So mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the one-stop shop. It is my baby. It's one of the reasons we're able to keep this free. We're not going to be charging for our podcast or our YouTube channel or anything like that. But it's also run by a high school coach for high school coaches or youth coaches or even college coaches. It's not run by a college. It's not Zoom. It's not all these Zoom calls. It's on court. It's demonstrations. It's videos. It's clinics. It's handouts. It's everything you need to become a better basketball coach in one-stop shop. So if it's not there, I will find it for you. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
Valued, I guess, the competitiveness of the game also, the true competitiveness. And so if you watch kids kind of go in a gym, they'll play, they'll laugh, they'll this, they'll that. And, man, I remember our open gyms when I was a little bit younger, we'd leave kind of offended, you know, if we lost.
Well, the problem is like there would be 13 guys, and if you lost, you had to sit for 13 minutes or 20.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to lose.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not, I will eat you. I don't want to, because I got to go over there. And that was pre-phones. Like, I'm just sitting over there, like, yeah. Talking to my friends.
The game has changed, though. The game has really, really changed. And you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of people making, money off the game. But, you know, there's something I heard last week that was really, really good. And it was some of the parents, though, for all the things that we see that are going on, though. You know, these parents are there. They're there with their phones out. They're there. They want that ribbon.
Right.
And, you know, the parents don't understand that they truly have the control. You know, yeah. I don't think they understand the control that they have. But I like the purity of the game, you know, and maybe that makes me old school. But, you know, I lean towards, you know, competing. If it's a little lessened, like the number of games that you play, but the quality is better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I like.
What I worry about too, and this is purely, I'm a stats teacher, so it's purely observational, but mm-hmm. The issue I have is I think the big bodies have a harder time.
For sure.
Like,
for sure.
I've had a couple guys I think could have played in the league that were big guys, but they were 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". I don't think their bodies could take all that playing. I think they broke down faster.
Yeah.
I always use the analogy, it's like a pitcher in the major leagues.
For
they
sure.
Say a pitcher only has so many pitches in that arm for their entire life.
Oh, for sure.
And that's why at the younger ages, they've tried to taper like curveballs and how many you throw.
Yeah.
That's why kids in the Midwest tend to have longer pitching careers in the major leagues, because they don't, there's 6 feet of snow in the middle of January. You can't but right. That's what I worry about. I worry about there's a lot of bodies getting broken down. Like,
yeah.
You don't need to go play four games in one day.
Yeah,
That's not good for those bodies. I don't know. Some of the
games and the structure of everything. Like, you get to this the Sunday of an event that maybe started Friday, and these kids got to play four games with, you know, a chocolate milk and a protein bar in between, trying to do this and trying to do that. And then the other thing is too, with all that wear and tear, you know, there used to be several myths around the game. The myth was that, hey, you know what? If you lift weights, you're going to stunt your growth. If you lift weights, it's going to mess up your shot.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, too, with all that wear and tear, I think there just needs to be a little emphasis on making sure that some of these kids' bodies can stand, you know, some of that torque,
right.
Wear and tear. And that doesn't mean going in a weight room and bench pressing and doing curls. It just means making sure that, you know, you learn a little bit about your body, like you learn about nutrition, you
right.
know? So
I worry about that. I wish the NCAA is trying to do this. They would push a little bit back more mm-hmm. to the high school. Just because it's like, you know, I'm not like, I, they're just doing it to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
there's great AAU programs. There's great high school coaches. There's bad high school coaches. There's bad A or summer pro. I get that, but like, I don't know. The education based thing seems to fit better. Quote unquote.
Well, it does because it's regulated. And so with anything like, you know, in this world that anyone can do, just anyone can do it.
Right.
Hey, if I wanted to open up a dentist's office tomorrow, hey man, there'd be people walking around with jacked up teeth.
Right.
Because I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't taken the time, you know.
Wild West is what I tell people.
Exactly.
It is the wild west.
It is. It is a wild, wild west. But, you know, I listen to both sides, and some people say, well, hey, you know what? My high school coach puts me in a box. You know, I'm not able to play because, you know, little Johnny's has four siblings, and they've came through there and this and that. So I get it, but it's just, you know.
But I'm going to tell you, the college coach is always coming back to the high school coach.
That's true.
I'm telling you. That's what I tell them. I said, that's fine. Yeah. But they're always coming back here because there's more structure here. It's five days a week. You got to do school. There's an athletic code. They're coming here, you know, to do that at some point.
Well, they have to. I mean, because the high school coach sees that kid 5 days a week. And so AAU coach, you may see him once, maybe twice. That's even if you're practicing. If you've got an all-star team and guys are flying in, y'all don't even practice.
No.
You
know? No. I know. Have you had one success or failure you'd want to share?
We've had both. I've had both, you know, and I think that, you know, there's the failures, you know, with things that you do, you know, you learn it. And so when I tell my players, and I'm completely transparent with them, and I think one of my biggest failures, and, you know, I'll be transparent, it was in 2007. And so after my 2006 summer over in Italy, my year in Italy, you know, I did well, and I signed this really big contract for the next year. And one thing that I did that summer, dude, I kind of relaxed. I kicked it. You know, I just relaxed. I chilled. And they were supposed to be putting together this all-star team, you know. And I was like, man, I'm playing with this guy. Man, I'm playing with this Italian legend. Oh, man, we're on the beach. Oh, my goodness, the gym is 13,000 seats.
Right.
And I was a little, you know, I was a little biased by that. But I let off the gas a little bit with how I worked that summer. I had a little bit more fun than I should have.
Yeah.
And, you know, the weird thing about it was, is that my wife was pregnant with our first child. And so fast forward a little bit, we start the season, and the season just starts slow. It's everything aesthetically that it's supposed to be, you know.
Right.
But our chemistry was just off. And I went into that situation with all these high-level guys, and I kind of went away from my mentality a little bit because I let off the gas. I wasn't prepared. And that lack of preparation, it came back to bite me. Right. And so what happened was we were favorites to win the championship outright, but we started slow just because I wasn't in sync, you know, and then all of our guys. And so what happens over there, it doesn't matter. The finger gets pointed at the Americans.
Right.
So if you don't play well, you know, hey man, it doesn't matter. Hey, you know, it's going to be on you. And so to make a long story short, my wife was supposed to have our first child. He was supposed to be born December 20th. And so I got released from that team December 15th.
Oh.
And so, listen, so I had to stew. You know, we couldn't fly anywhere. We couldn't leave because, hey, my wife's supposed to give birth like, you know, 5 days. So we're still there. You know, I'm not on the team anymore. I'm seeing guys go to practice, seeing guys come back, seeing guys go to games, seeing guys coming back, seeing people in the city that we knew because I was there since August. And anyways, my son was born January 5th. And then, you know, to that point, I signed another deal with another team in Italy. But that period from being released by that team and then signing that new contract, I just had this reflection, you know, and it basically went back to my preparation and late May, June, July. And so we went through that. Everything was fine. You know, it was just a little pie on my face. But that was the only time ever in my career that I was released. And so that I can say is a failure. And so what happened was, is that, you know, from 2007, I retired in 2013, you know, it was just like a reset for, you know, hey, you know what, you know, Lord lets you know that, hey, guess what? I can give it to you and I can take it away from you.
Yes.
You know, if you don't respect the game, you know, hey, I can give it to you, I can take it away from you. And so that was one of my biggest failures that, but I'm proud of that failure.
Right.
I'm proud of it, you know, because like it taught me a lesson. And, you know, I tell all my kids, you know, and I put myself in certain situations because a lot of times, man, you know, we'll try to teach from a point of view that, hey, man, I know this. But one of the best teaching points that I've been able to use also in methods is hey, guess what? I messed this up years ago.
Right.
Don't mess it up. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I know. It's like, and the thing is, I look back at my career, it's like all like that helped me do this and this helped me do that. And me not getting that job helped me get this job, which I mean, you know, I'm a believer in karma. Everything happens for a reason in karma a little bit. Like what you put out, I tell my students that all the time. You put positive energy out, positive energy comes back. Put negative energy out, negative energy comes back.
That's so true. Yeah, that is so true. Yeah, that is so true, man. But then on the flip side of that, you know, all of my success, I guess, stories, it just revolves around getting it right.
Right.
So we've got some guys that went to the NBA. Hey, man, that's great. But, you know, I got a kid that got cut his seventh grade year. I got a kid that got cut his eighth grade year. I got a kid that made his A team his freshman year and started. For me, that's a success story.
Right.
You know, right. And so I celebrate all of those kind of equally because, you know, the young men that we work with, eventually they're going to be men. And, you know, they never forget.
They're going to be men. They're going to be fathers. They're going to be citizens. That's what I'm always thinking about. It's like.
Yeah. And they'll always remember how you treated them. Even if I got to get on a kid and the majority of our relationship is rocky because I always have to keep him accountable.
Yep.
He'll know when he's a man that, hey, you know what? I had his best interest.
Yep. You know? Even when you cut him, even when you do that, like.
Well, yeah.
I've had kids like I cut. They wouldn't talk to me for 2 years, but
eventually they
came back, and it's like,
oh yeah,
because I cut them because first of all, I know you weren't good enough. I know you wouldn't have been happy being number 15 on the team. You could go do something else your senior year in high school. I mean, everything I told them, they knew I was right, but they didn't want to hear it because they're.
Well, I mean, it ultimately leads back to something you didn't do, or something, or in a way that you just didn't prepare for.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, I've never seen a kid come in there and kill it with effort, do everything he's supposed to do, and then that kid gets cut. You know, the guys that, you know, I always tell players too, they condition coaches.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. They allow us to keep these podcasts moving and chugging and allow us to pay the bills. So it's one way that you can give back. If you love these podcasts, come over and join for a couple of months, the 14-day free trial, kick the tires around. And we've got lots of great new things going up on a daily basis. We would love if you subscribe and like, wherever you do that, Apple, Spotify, and then go over and check out our other two podcasts, High School Hoops and Teacher Sidegate. I think you'll love them. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
And so, you know, you condition me in the good, you also condition me in the bad.
Well, I tell the kid that's like number seven and said, you don't think I make me play you. I want to win as much as you do. Like, you know,
that's true.
Like the parents that call, it's like, so you really think I'm not starting the best five players? Like, you really think that's what I'm going to just like, really? You don't think I'm going to like the ones that are going to help us be successful?
From the parents' point of view, you know what it is. And I hear this far too much, man. Coach just didn't let me play in my game.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and I've always told the young coaches this too, when they're dealing with upset parents, is I said, you can't be rational with an irrational person.
That's true.
And parents aren't rational. I'm not rational about my kids. My kids are like, they're my kids. Like, I'm not rational about them. So it's like, and that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my entire teaching coaching career was coach my own kid. Cause sometimes I think I was harder on him than if he hadn't been my kid.
For sure.
Because I'm trying to compensate for dad here, coach here.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm getting ready to go through that myself.
It's hard, man. It's so hard. And I luckily I had really good assistants that would turn to me because I would like yank him, and they would go, you got to put Drew back, because Drew was a shooter. He's like, you got to put him back in, man. You got to put him back in. Like, they were the ones telling me, because I was going the other way.
Yeah.
Because it's hard, you know. It's like, you want to keep that balance, and to be honest with you, it's your street cred too with the other guy. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah. It's hard.
When he messed up, I had to punish him worse than I would have punished another kid, because all of a sudden, if I don't, then all of a sudden my streak, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Anything can happen at that point. That's true. All right, so let's do my rapid fire. So I'm going to ask you just different questions. They're short questions. Some will be fast. Some will be, what's your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball you play with?
Wilson, Evolution.
Okay. One word to describe your ideal player.
LeBron James, even though he's not real.
So to describe your ideal basketball player, not the best player. Describe your best player in one word.
Versatile.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event, what would it be?
NBA Finals.
Yeah, hoping to drive to Milwaukee, but I don't think I'm going to be doing that. Your favorite pregame or postgame meal?
Chicken breast and pasta. Postgame, steak and salad.
Okay. What does your game day look like?
Wake up early, coffee, notes, video, more notes, school day regular, shoot around, focus, play.
School day's hard. I mean, especially on big game days.
It's really, really hard. You're just trying to get through there.
There's times the kids will look at me and go, "Mr. Collins." I go, I know. It's like, you're thinking about something else. One thing you do to relax.
I have to leave that on my wife, because according to her, I don't know how to relax. So it's basically whatever she tells and suggests for us to do. That's okay. What it is.
Do you have any superstitions?
I have, it's routine based. Whatever I have success with, however I prepared, I normally try to leave it alone.
I'm telling you, that's what people say. They go, Mr. Collins, you're so superstitious. Like, oh, I'm not superstitious. I'm routine. I don't think I'm going to, like, when I was a player, I didn't think I was going to lose if I put my right shoe on before my left shoe. But I do things, and I've said this before, I wear a suit and a tie the day of a game, because that's my game. That's my uniform. Like, for sure. That's mentally clicking me to, because I don't normally wear that to school. It's clicking me like it's game day. That's what I'm doing. It's like, it's a routine. It's like, one coaching technique you think's important.
Flexibility.
Amen. Here's one. Describe your perfect player in five or less words.
An extension of myself.
Good. Excellent. Best player of all time.
Michael Jordan.
Okay. Most used basketball resource.
Game film.
Yeah, I would say it's film for me or reading. I like reading, but I can't read as much. I fall asleep. I'm too old. Shot clock, yes or no?
Yes.
One thing you would change about the game?
Things that I change are just pet peeves. Maybe me overthinking things or being in my own way. But I can't think of one thing in particular.
No change. Okay. One thing to help you become a better coach?
The ability to learn new knowledge. The ability to network with other people, learn from other people. I think that's the biggest thing.
Okay. Charge circle, yes or no?
Excuse me?
Charge circle, yes or no? High school?
No.
Yeah. They can't. Maybe you have real better officials in Texas, but they have enough things to worry about.
Hey, with some of these officials, it depends on when you get them, man. Oh, my goodness.
It's like, I mean, I've had huge discussions about the charge circuit with coaches. I go, we're not NCAA and we're not, there's no instant replay. Yeah. Like, we don't need another thing for them to worry about. Yeah, they already missed the 3-point line.
We have guys that can't decipher if a guy was inbounds or out of bounds. So I don't need one more line on the floor.
Right. That's one of my reasons for no shot clock is we don't need another thing to worry about. Yeah. We just don't need another thing to worry about.
I think it would be a superficial perk, but you know, my answer too, if people say, well, man, you need a shot clock, they're holding the ball.
Right.
Well, hey, we'll pressure up and defend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one thing to tell your younger self.
One thing to tell my younger self. I would have just paid attention a little bit earlier in a little bit more detailed way. When you're young, sometimes, man, you think you can just do everything. You're young. I've got this time to do it. I got tomorrow. I don't have to warm up. I don't have to stretch. I can eat that fried food before. Just please pay attention to the details of everything.
I agree. Quarters or halves?
Quarters.
What do you play?
We play quarters. 4 8-minute quarters, 32 minutes.
We have 2 18-minute halves.
And how is that?
Oh, you like awesome. That? It's awesome. Really? You know what it does? It does a couple things. First of all, you become a college coach because your star can't play the whole game.
That's
the first thing. So you got to rest them. Like, they can't play 36 minutes hard. If you're playing 36 minutes, there's something wrong. Like,
that's true.
So I got to rest them. So it forces, and it also, because it's high school athletics and it's school based, you have to play more kids.
That's true.
So that's why I like it. And the flow is better. Okay. That's better for flow than shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why people are talking about shot clock. Go to half. No,
it's definitely better for flow. You get those resets at the end of quarters and stuff.
Well, and that's the only thing I miss the coaching. Like, because I come out of a quarter and I change up on you.
It changes
the chess match a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't think about it that way. That's a great viewpoint.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, when we make it to the state tournament and stuff, there's a TV timeout every 3 or 4 minutes. It's like, shoot, I can play my star the whole game. Because they go hard 3 minutes.
Because I've seen so many AAU games, I think I'm just against the halves because of that.
yeah. But you add that extra 4 minutes, it's like, oh my God, that's an extra 4 minutes for a lot of kids. And all of a sudden now I refer to it as special teams. You can get that one kid that can go out for 2 minutes and just do that one thing for you.
That's a great point.
Yeah. I was not a fan initially, but I just missed the timeout. I missed the quarter timeout.
You just may have made me change my stance on that on the spot, I think.
Thanks. So. I mean, I think that's the counter to the shot clock. Like, again, the person has a hard enough time turning the clock on and off. You're going to have them do a shot clock and figure out if it hit the rim? Like, you know.
One more thing for parents to yell at.
Well, and it's also like, look at all these teams that are delaying. I go, there's tens of hundreds of thousands of basketball games in a year. How many are really 22 to 20? Very few. Like you're it's the one thing you're seeing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's best team of all time.
It's 96 Bulls.
Pretty good. Yeah, I would.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah. One book you'd recommend?
Book that I'm reading now is, what is the name of that book? It's an audio book, actually. And so I do so much driving because it is Texas.
Yeah.
And we talked about that, but
Audible's awesome. I'm telling
you. It is like my preferred resource. So what I'm listening to right now is called The Four Agreements. And so it's by Don Miguel Ruiz. And so that was referenced to me by someone else.
Okay.
And so what I'll have is like sometimes, and you mentioned it earlier about reading, I'll have someone that will say, hey, man, listen to this. Or, hey, this is a great resource. But the Audible has made it actually possible for me to get through books.
What I need is, and someone that's listening needs to invent this, I need to be able to drive and then hear something and then be able to save it for later.
That's true.
Rather than having to write it down or like I'm driving. So, or I'm mowing the lawn. I don't have that with me to stop. So it's like someone needs to invent some way for me to like, ooh, I like that golden nugget, but I'm like driving. I can't like sit and write something down or remember.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
So I wish that was it. All right. So my last question I always ask is, do you have one bit of advice for a coach? Anything that you would give as your parting words of knowledge?
My one, I guess, advice, and it's just based on personal experience that hits home, is just, do your best where you are currently.
Where your feet are standing is what where I always say.
Feet are standing. Yeah, as a player, you know, we do it sometimes. We get to looking down the road. We get to looking at who has this or who's that or who's making this money or this or that. And with coaching sometimes, you know, maybe it's the same way. Oh, man, that guy's got those facilities over there. Man, if I had that, man, if I have those 268, you know what? I enjoy.
That's like, great.
I make it the best. You know, the best experience for myself where I am because
what I tell young coaches too as a side note. Be you. Don't be Coach K. There's only one Coach K.
Oh, for sure.
Don't be you. Like be where your feet are standing. Be happy with your feet are standing. Make the best of that situation and be you. I think that's a great way to go through life too.
For sure. For sure. When you're able to kind of create, I guess, you know, your whatever it is that you're doing, you're building and you're having success with it, you know, whatever the size of the success is, that place turns into your personal paradise.
It does. You know? It does. Yeah. Oh, Coach Mathis, thank you so much for being on. I really do appreciate it.
And I appreciate you also. Thank you for your time, Coach.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, review, do whatever you got to do. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great
Sports Social Podcast Network.